Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we kind of wrapped up quarter number three, making mention to James Franklin signing his new contract. This is my first chance to talk to you about it. You also mentioned earlier in the show that Mel Tucker and his crew outcoached Penn State. So obviously, James Franklin, approximately $85 million contract. Mel Tucker looks like a $95 million contract. Obviously, Penn State didn't pay James Franklin enough.
I think at this point in time, I know the deal is pretty fresh, but I think they need to go back to the negotiating table. Let's try to squeeze more out of Penn State in this situation and explain why that extra $1 million per year or whatever James Franklin needs, why the last contract he signed, 6 days ago, why that needs to be re-upped now.
Well, you obviously saw the difference that $1 million a year makes with Mel Tucker out coaching James Franklin. A couple things with this I do find interesting in talking about the coaches, and it's interesting because you had Mel Tucker, James Franklin, both with the coaching extensions this week. But with both of these guys, in Mel Tucker, he came to Michigan State, understood 2020 was a strange year. They finished, I believe, 2-5. He brought in a boatload of transfers, including the great running back. Really turned things around quickly. He's 10-2, but he did this for 1 year. Okay, James Franklin has a bit of a longer history as a head coach, but in his most recent 2 years, he's one game over 500 at Penn State, and disappointing 4-5 last year, perhaps even more disappointing 7-5 this year. And that warranted major, huge contracts for both these guys. I understand there will be people that say nobody is worth $1 million or $2 million or whatever. But in the landscape of college football, where you have Dabo Sweeney, Ryan Day, Nick Saban as the guys who are winning every year, do Mel Tucker and James Franklin really warrant 10-year contracts of around $90 million?
I just think, and I made the comparison to, quarterback contracts in the NFL. The next good quarterback to sign one is going to be, for however briefly, the richest quarterback in the league. It's going to be the richest contract. The one-upsmanship is very much real and alive and well in college football coaching. More so now, I think, than ever. The urgency to take a swing and try to get the right guy is at an all-time high. The guy who can maybe take your program to the promised land. And for various reasons, I think Mel Tucker offers a reason to the Michigan State administration. James Franklin can offer some reasons up to Penn State's administration, mostly based on track record and things like that. I think James Franklin, is one of the best when it comes to the big picture coaching, organization building, getting all the right pieces in place when it comes to staff and nutrition and strength and conditioning and, all that types of stuff. When it comes to marketing his program and being a really good, friendly face to the program. I mean, those are all things that James Franklin does exceptionally well and that he's proven that over time and time again. But I think on game day is where you see his deficiencies show up. Mel Tucker, I think it's way too early to tell what he is as a recruiter, but he strikes me as a guy who sells his vision very, very well. And I think he strikes me as a guy in his locker room, on Michigan State's campus, and everywhere else who just commands respect. And I saw, you know, a couple of days ago, I think it was Adam Schefter reporting that NFL teams were coming and expressing interest in Mel Tucker. And maybe someday that is ultimately where he ends up, is with an NFL team. And I think he is one of the rare college coaches who I think can step into a pro locker room with, you know, 28-year-old men who are making millions and millions, and be able to command the same level of respect there as he does in his locker room with players who are 19 and 20 and 21, who have no real rights, who have to follow what the coach is saying. I think you're really just seeing the very beginning for Mel Tucker, and there was some urgency sparked by some competition and sparked by, you know, administration that has to decide. You have to decide right here and now, in the face of that competition, whether you're making a commitment or not to your coach. And both these administrations chose to make that commitment. I don't think either one of them is crazy. The numbers look outrageous now, especially James Franklin, which, by the way, I mean, 2020, you can kind of write off an off year. You can write off a lost season. It's very hard to write off two lost seasons. I mean, there's still, like, James Franklin is kind of back to square one with a lot of people around the program, a lot of fans just trying to reestablish all that magic that they were able to catch in 2016. You know, the urgency is there to get back to that, to solve some of these issues that have not been solved in years. You know, to build an offensive line that is capable of being sure and confident and trustworthy in short yardage situations. It doesn't seem like it's that much to ask. They haven't been able to pin that down under James Franklin. You know, so I think both these coaches, you know, they made a lot of money. But when the next coach signs, Lincoln Riley, as we're sitting here now, just is taking the USC job. We just learned that earlier on Sunday. The number that he's getting is now going to dictate what Nick Saban's going to get, what LSU's next, what are you going to pay at LSU for the next coach? When Steve Sarkisian inevitably fizzles out at Texas in 12 to 18 months, what's the next Texas coach going to get with them moving to the SEC? The money for college coaches has been silly in the past. It's silly right now. It's only going to get sillier in the future. And these guys are kind of exhibits A and B right now.
The two issues I have with this, Dustin, is number one, these guys who are the hot product. I could argue that Scott Frost had a much better resume than Mel Tucker when he left Central Florida. And you can list any of the hot names. You mentioned one, Steve Sarkisian, Dan Mullen going to Florida, Charlie Strong and Tom Herman going to Texas. Even Ed Orgeron, a national champion 2 years ago at LSU. All of these names, they were the hot guy. They were the hot name. They fail as often as not. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and you compared it to the NFL. I could tell you there are not many people in the world who can do what Aaron Rodgers could do, or Tom Brady can do, or Patrick Mahomes could do. There's a handful. I would argue there are a lot of people who could coach football and do it at a pretty high level, or coach a team that doesn't have an offensive line that can get you 1 yard, okay? And that's what we're seeing. So that's my one issue about the salaries going crazy for these college coaches. The other one I have, with all that said, Dustin, as salty as I may sound about it with James Franklin, I still do think he's the best guy for the job. Perhaps as much with, I'm scared of what the next guy might be, okay? So that's a tough part of it. But what I cannot get over from this Penn State administration is they made a 10-year commitment to James Franklin. 10 years. If they decide right now, you know what? James Franklin can't be our coach next year. Guess what? They still owe him 80-some million dollars. However, in 2 years, James Franklin decides, you know what? The grass is greener over at USC after Lincoln Riley fizzles out. Guess what? The buyout is $1 million. That's it. And he's gone. James Franklin is not making a commitment to Penn State. Penn State's making a commitment to him. And he's not coming off two national championships. He's coming off a two-season combined of 10-9. If you're going to show the loyalty to him, I think he owes it back.
That's probably fair. And the contract does set up so that in a year and a half or 2 years, when other big name jobs open up, we're going to be going through the same song and dance again. Is James Franklin actually interested? Are they actually interested in him? Is he just trying to get leverage in contract negotiations, try to renegotiate something else? And we're going to be back at square one. Now, I do think that there's something to be said about the upcoming change in leadership from a, you know, administrative level on campus with Eric Barron moving on and Sandy Barber. I don't know whether she's going to be back or whatever. And James Franklin kind of ensured that if or when there is some volatility in campus leadership, that he is solid and entrenched where he is. He has guaranteed that for himself right now. And so he walks away from this thing, you know, with clearly feeling like he had all the leverage in the first place, and the contract terms kind of back that up. So if things go south and you know, a president comes in and Penn State has another lost season or two, a new athletic director comes in, they're hamstrung. They can't do a whole lot, even though that naturally that person, you know, is going to want their own hire to lead the most important part of their athletic department. They're not going to have that option with James Franklin. Maybe he does get this thing on track, and maybe he does at some point move on and find a new home. Like, you know, with Florida State and Jimbo Fisher, it just came time. It didn't mean that Jimbo Fisher couldn't coach anymore. It just came time to make a change, and he, you know, they just needed a change in voice and a change in leadership. Maybe someday that time comes for Penn State. But if it's their choice to make that change, it is going to be a very costly change.
Well, you put it that way, is if the next 2 years things don't go well for him, hey, in essence, they can't fire him, or if they do want to move on, they owe him a boatload of money. But I believe he's thinking the other way. He's thinking, you know what? I'm going to correct the ship. I'm going to straighten it out. And the next 2 years, they have 10-win seasons, go to a New Year's Bowl, and he goes right back to the well. If you're the new athletic director and you have a football coach who just won 20 games the last 2 years, do you want to be the AD who drove him out of town? And James Franklin has all the leverage again.
He does, and I really do think that there are going to be some good times coming. You can point to a number of things, including track record, including development and what they're able to kind of get out of some individual players. But mostly, you know, with that recruiting class coming in and trying to solve those problems, maybe they hit the transfer portal hard for that offensive line. Maybe they make a change in leadership along that offensive line. I don't think as a head coach you can beg your offensive lineman to be more physical 7 times throughout a year and feel like your offensive line coach is on stable ground. There might be some changes there with Phil Troutwine. I don't know, but I think at the very least, you have to change the recruiting dynamic. I don't think it's any secret that they haven't recruited true blue chip offensive linemen in big numbers at all at any point. They've gotten some good ones along the way, but now's the time where they got to get a bunch of good ones, and they have to do it now, maybe through the portal.
And as I said, I'm probably been the negative Nancy here, but with that said, I'm still optimistic, as you said, with the recruiting class, specifically the quarterback coming in, the running back coming in. I see better days ahead for this program. I just wish they had negotiated a little better on that contract. Dustin, that's it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.